Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Do you wonder whether or not to lower expectations if your teen is dealing with mental health issues? Well, today's Healthy Family Connections podcast, episode number 18, is titled Healthy Expectations for Your Depressed Teenager. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And today we're addressing a question from a mother concerned about excusing her depressed and anxious son's absences from school. It's a question that comes from Suzanne of Santa Cruz, California. And let's all remember that this is an educational podcast to give you great strategies for achieving your dream of a healthy and happy family. It is not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, Suzanne writes, "My son suffers from depression. He's on medication. He has attended a wilderness program and a residential treatment center. He sees a therapist, etc. He is sometimes absent from school due to anxiety. His symptoms are usually fairly nondescript: headache, stomach ache, tired, general body fatigue, etc. I know his physical symptoms are real to him, but are often a result of his depression and anxiety. He has learned tools to deal with this issue, but sometimes he fails to use them. Do I excuse his absence from school or let him suffer the consequences of his absence?" Wow, what a question. Thanks for it. Suzanne, it goes right to the heart of successfully treating depression in teenagers. So this is very important. Let's take a quick look at what depression is and why it's so prevalent in teens today. And then let's address your question regarding how to establish healthy accommodations and not counterproductive or enabling ones for your son. I think depression can best be described as a state of hopelessness, where there is no joy, nothing excites, so there's no motivation. The sufferer experiences a sense of powerlessness to change anything and so isn't even inclined to try. Often, people with depression will feel out of it, as though they have this invisible shield around them, separating them from others. Doing anything for a depressed person can feel like a chore. Well, adolescence is one of those high-risk stages of life for people to become depressed, and let's think about it. Adolescence is that transitional stage between childhood and young adulthood. So it involves leaving one's childhood where you live in the social safe environment, the socially safe environment of the family, and then starting in middle school and ending after senior year in high school, developing all the social, emotional, and educational and vocational skills necessary to be able to function pretty darn independently. And there are many challenges along the way to being able to accomplish that. You know, some kids are simply temperamentally shy and reserved, and they can feel at a disadvantage socially. Many kids believe they don't fit in some way, and they struggle with their self-esteem. They may be struggling with sexual or gender identity. Teenagers all face a lack of experience with dealing with social situations and peer pressure, and so things are going to come up that can really throw them off. Often there are educational expectations from teachers and parents that they feel they can't meet, and then they don't even know how to ask for help. They just might think they're dumb. And of course, teenagers today have the added pressure of being constantly plugged in, so they never get the opportunity to feel at home and that the drama of their peer group is at least over for the day. The peer interaction goes on, and they believe that if they don't stay plugged in and keep themselves relevant, they'll be left behind. And just as a side note, I found that when parents take their teenager's phone or internet access away due to some infraction, the result is that kids look, feel, and act much better. It's like there's a weight been lifted off of their shoulders. So it's always important for parents to have some clear and enforced limits around use of devices. It's also important to remember that teenagers are going through physiological and neurological changes that can throw them and their parents for a loop. And then, of course, there are the challenges of easy availability of drugs and alcohol. And so kids staying positive and learning and growing in a mentally healthy way all the way to young adulthood can be very challenging and a very difficult path to negotiate. Some kids have had trauma in their background or a family history of depression, and that makes the likelihood of vulnerability to becoming depressed that much greater. So, with all that background, let's take a look at Suzanne's situation with her son. Suzanne, you report that your son has received a ton of resources to help him resolve or manage his mental health and behavioral health issues. He went to a wilderness program that is a wonderful resource for kids who have lost their way. The wilderness gets them away from all the electronics and the pressure of daily life. Also gets them away from their families that where there might be an unhealthy control battle-based dynamic going on. So that's at least suspended. It's not going to change it in the long run, but it will at least suspend it for the time being. They backpack into the wilderness with group leaders who are naturalists and therapists. So they learn wonderful skills, and the positive peer culture that the leaders develop is a powerful motivator for kids. Teenagers are open and accepting of ideas and behaviors when their peers accept them as well. And then being in nature and seeing the Milky Way and experiencing the elements is so healing. It teaches our kids what they can accomplish and it boosts their self-esteem. So that experience alone can do a lot to relieve depression. And then your son went off to a residential treatment center. In other words, he went to live for a period of time, usually somewhere between 6 months and 18 months, in an environment that's very managed, where they learn a lot of skills for managing depression, and he received a lot of therapy, and in general, a lot of help growing and developing healthy values and behaviors. And once again, a program like this has a positive peer culture associated with it, so kids support each other in dealing with whatever issues they have. Excellent. And now, your son is at home, and he has a psychiatrist, so he's on medication, and his medication's well managed, and he has a therapist to support him and help. So, Suzanne, you've put a ton of resources and support elements in place for your son. So now you ask if your son is feeling anxious or depressed, and he has physical symptoms that result from those states, should you excuse him from attending school? Well, let's answer this question by thinking about what your goal is. And here's a goal that I think you should have for yourself and your son should have for himself. And that is that your son be able to successfully manage his depression and his anxiety independently from you, his mother. Why do I think this is important? Because when he reaches his young adulthood, he will need to be able to do that to successfully emancipate. And there's another reason. Depression often results from feeling helpless and disempowered, like we can't make a difference in our own lives or in the world in any meaningful way. And as long as you're writing excuses for your son, he is not in the driver's seat. He's not in charge and responsible for his own education and his own relationship with his school. It'll reinforce the notion that he's helpless and does not possess the ability to be successful. So let's just say your son has very difficult issues to deal with, and let's just accept that. Yet if you're the one to deal with them, your son will never effectively reach young adulthood with all the competencies necessary to be successful going forward. Now is the time for him to develop those competencies. So, Suzanne, here's what you can do. And I would say if you haven't already, because you're a pretty darn proactive parent, so I'd be surprised if you haven't, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Here's what you could do. Go to the school with your son and make sure that the school understands that he has mental health problems, and have the school and your son work out a plan for your son to address any problems that interfere with his ability to function at school and learn. It might mean that at school, if he gets overwhelmed emotionally, he can visit the nurse. It might mean he goes to the gym and shoots baskets for a while. It might mean talking to a school counselor. You know, he could become an aide in the office for part of the day until he's feeling better. These are all just suggestions. But the point is that it's up to your son to use his school and build his own relationship with his own school to manage his mental health issues. If it's up to you to manage his issues, he'll never get better. If he's in charge of managing them, then he absolutely will get better. I mean, he's got a therapist to help him figure all this out. He's got a psychiatrist. So we need to put him on the road to his emancipation. And as you pointed out, he does indeed know the skills. But he's not using them, and he's relying on you to make that okay. So Suzanne, once you've established that going to school and managing depression is his job, I'm guessing that you're going to face resistance and that your son and you have established some sort of relationship pattern that probably is some form of a control battle, and a pattern where you push for him to go forward in a responsible way and he resists. So he still might resist going to school, and since you can't put him in the car seat kicking and screaming like you would your toddler, make sure that if he chooses to stay home, it's completely without electronics of any kind, that he's grounded, and that he's got chores to do, and all this without yelling or threatening or otherwise inviting any kind of control battle. All of your communication should be emotionally neutral in tone, and you should just go about your day and be relatively positive. Don't overfocus on him. So folks, depression is a condition that is almost always resolvable. In really tough situations, however, it is at the very least manageable. And when our teenagers become depressed, it needs to be a learning and a growing experience for them. In the same way that they need to learn how to do difficult school assignments and eat in a way that doesn't upset their stomach, they need to learn and use the skills necessary to be emotionally healthy. If we make their problems ours to solve, that's enabling behavior and will keep them stuck. If we empower and support them in solving their problems, they'll grow and thrive. Suzanne, you did a fabulous job of developing resources for your son. Now, hold him accountable to using them. Well, thanks for being with me today, folks. I know we all appreciate Suzanne's question, and I'd love to answer yours too. And please remember, take care of yourself. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. See you soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.